Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
It was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Cape Zeal, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, and he went down to him with his staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among the three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. Amen. Well, this is quite a guy. I mean, David, in 2 Samuel 23 here, you get a list of David's mighty men. Now, many of you know he had, there were the top three that he had, and then he had another three. And then he had his 30, and then his armies, and they were distributed by rank. But these men here that he's talking about in 2 Samuel 23 did notable things. And as I was reading this and meditating on this, I was thinking, who on earth would want to chase a lion into a pit on a snowy day? I mean, you don't just do that for something to do. Amen? I mean, how many of you would, that's your lifelong aspiration. I just want to get me a lion and see if I can't chase him into it. Now, it didn't say he had a .30-06 or any weapons or any, you know. It just said that he slew this lion in the pit. He chased him, jumped into the pit with this lion. Man, there's no return. He killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He killed them. But then now I can understand battle. I can understand you're one of David's, you know, mighty men. You're fighting in battle. You're fighting for your country. It's all or nothing. I mean, to this day, I believe if you're in Israel, you have to serve. If you're a male, you got to serve in their military. And back then, you know, they served. They numbered the people. If they were a certain age, they were eligible for warfare, then they served. But these guys rose to the top. And I can understand fighting somebody, amen, when you're in battle. I can understand engaging two lion-like men in battle and fighting them to the death. But to run and jump in a snowy pit on a snowy day after a lion, It just kind of got to me. I don't know about you, but that got my attention. Then it goes on to say that he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man, took the spear out of his hand, killed him with his own spear. And in verse 23 it says, David appointed him at the end of this verse over his guard. So my first instinct, and maybe yours when you read this, is this isn't normal. This is not normal behavior. Amen? All right, I'll prove to you. We'll do a survey. How many of you would love to jump into a pit on a snowy day and wrestle a lion to death? Okay? So this isn't normal behavior. I thought maybe one or two of you might want to. But this isn't normal behavior, okay? This is supernatural. This is a guy that's got a different mindset than other people. This is a guy with a warrior mentality. Amen. This is somebody who he's either fearless or he's willing to do it afraid. Amen? I'm talking a 500-pound lion. They say you can hear a lion's roar for almost 5 miles or something like that. I read. I mean, it is loud. And it intimidates everybody that hears it and everything that hears it. This guy had to have a different mindset. He had to think different. He had to be a go-getter. Amen. He wasn't gonna sit around. He wanted to do great exploits for God, and he just wanted to practice on this lion. I don't know what he was thinking. But he was willing to do it. And you know, this action got the attention of David. David said, man, any guy that wants to jump in and fight a lion in the pit, I want him as my guard. He was one of David's guards, bodyguards. Wouldn't you like surrounding you guys that ain't afraid to mix it up with a lion in the snowy day in the bottom of a pit? Amen. Any stuff we face would be pretty easy. This got the attention of David. He wasn't thinking like other people think. He wasn't acting like other people act. He had this warrior mentality. He was a fighter. He was one who was wasn't going to wait for somebody else to do something for him. Amen. He was going on the offensive. You know how many times fear paralyzes us. How many times we don't dare to move, we don't dare to step, we don't dare to do anything because we're afraid. Now, I don't know, when I get to heaven, I want to ask him what he was thinking when he did this. But he either was fearless, super confident, or he would do it afraid. Sometimes we just got to do things afraid. Amen? You might be scared, you might be nervous, you might not... You don't know what the outcome's going to be, but sometimes you just got to do it. He wasn't afraid of the odds. He didn't poll anybody. He didn't say, how many of you think I can pull this off? Which way is the wind blowing here? He didn't think about the odds. He didn't think about the deck being stacked against him. He didn't think about this lion outweighing him by probably a minimum of 350 pounds. It was a supernatural response. I wonder if maybe he did it because he had heard of his king taking out a lion, taking out a bear, taking out a giant. Maybe the word had spread through Israel. I got an idea it did, don't you? When David showed up on the battlefield, let's turn there, 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29. Said, this is when Israel and the Philistines were going to battle. One was on one mountain, one was on the other side. A challenge went forth from their giant, from Goliath, that said, hey, listen, let's do a winner-take-all thing. No sense in everybody getting hurt and mixing up both armies down here in the valley. I'm Philistine champion. You send down your champion. Whoever wins, the other will serve them. Amen. If I win, then you'll serve us. If you win, we'll serve you. It was a challenge that went out. They were positioned there in fear for 40 days. Nobody dared to respond to the challenge. David's dad sends some bread, sends some cheese, sends some food for his brothers who were, I believe three of his brothers were in Saul's army. And so they were there. So David brings them food and he sees this standoff and he asks what's going on. And they explain to him that Goliath has challenged him, but he's a giant of a man and nobody wants to go down and fight him. And David says, put me in, coach. Many people believe David was still a teenager when this happened. We're going to pick up in verse 29. It says, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? He's talking with his brothers here. They're trying to get him to go back home and tend sheep. And then he turned from him and toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now David had asked them, he goes, they had said, the man that brings down this giant gets some benefits in the kingdom. He doesn't have to pay taxes again. He gets to eat at the king's table and he gets to marry the king's daughter. And David said, well, run that by me again? These sounds like some pretty good blessings worth fighting for, amen? And so David, they told him again. They told him the benefits of fighting Goliath. And David said to Saul in verse 31 says, when the words of David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Now, this was not a normal teenage kid. Amen? There was something different about David. He said, don't let anybody be afraid. You've been sitting on this mountain for 40 days. Everybody said, why isn't this thing done? Why hasn't somebody gone down there and removed his head? David really couldn't figure this out. So he said, listen, I'll go down and I'll fight him. See, I wonder if Ben and I had heard about this. I wonder if he had heard about David. And you see, Saul wasn't real keen on the idea. In verse 33, it says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. He says, you're not able to do it. For you are a youth. That's why I said many believe that he was still a teenager. I've read anywhere from 13 to 18. It depends on kind of who you read. It says, and he a man of war from his youth. Saul says, now, if we're going to look at the odds, and if we're going to, he's almost 11 feet tall. His armor, his spear weighs as much as you do, David. And so if you're going to process stuff in the natural, sometimes we face things, and when we look at it in the natural, we get overwhelmed, or we get fearful, or we want to run, or we want to hide, or we want to, you know, we just think there's no way out, no way over, no way through. But God doesn't call us to process things in the natural. David wasn't processing in the natural. He had factored God into the equation from the minute he arrived and assessed the situation. And so Saul didn't want him to do it. Saul said no. He said, you know, he's been a warrior, a mighty warrior since his youth. He's twice your size. He's everything you're not, David. Basically saying everything that he could possibly do to discourage him from being victorious. It wasn't like they had a big pep rally trying to get David pumped up here to go in and fight this giant. And Saul, you see, he had a lot to lose. Because this was a winner-take-all. So Saul wanted put his best foot forward. He wanted the odds in his favor, their best warrior, but nobody dared to move. Fear will paralyze even great warriors. If we let it. David said to Saul, he begins to testify. I like this. Gives him his resume. David said to Saul in verse 34, he says, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. The lion killer. And then he begins to prophesy. He's testifying to Saul. And then he begins to prophesy. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Now you get to see a little bit about what David's about. David knew that he didn't have to get the victory. He knew God had already got him the victory. He had seen it with a lion. He had seen it with a bear. It was his experience. It was a testimony that he had. This is where David lived. And if he had killed a lion and killed a bear, then this giant of a man was going to be no different in his mind. the same God that defeated this the lion, the same God that defeated the bear would defeat this giant. So David prophesies. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Somehow God must have bore witness to Saul. Either that or he didn't want to stay 41 days, one or the other. He would rather serve them than stay another day in this paralyzed position. See, fear paralyzes. That's the purpose of a lion's roar. It paralyzes its prey so it can't move. Amen? Once he roars, the prey freezes, and then he's got it. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, God warns us about this for our own spiritual life. He says, likewise, he says, "You younger people, submit yourself to the elders." This is 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 5. "Yes, and all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Now watch where he goes with this. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Do you know you've got an enemy that wants to devour you? He wants to devour everything good in your life. He says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God says, "I'll even use your suffering to perfect, to establish, to strengthen, and to settle you." Notice he says, be sober, be humble. Amen. This is the way to prevail in God. Amen. With a spirit of humility. Amen. Going before God. David wasn't boasting. He wasn't confident in his own strength. He said, "The same God that delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver him from this giant." Amen. And I believe that spirit got on Benaniah. I believe that spirit, there's something about that. As a leader, you want impartation to those that are under you. Amen. You want to impart your gifts, your talent, the things that God is doing. You want to mentor them up. I don't know if David had been in touch with him. I don't know if he had just heard the story. I don't know what was going on, but Benaniah decided to try it out one day on a snowy day. I was plowing here thinking of that scripture. I'm thinking, man, I was plowing here yesterday. He jumped in a pit on a day like today and decided to duke it out with a lion. Either the guy is crazy or he's got something in God. Amen? And I thought, what kind of tenacity, what kind of attitude would I need to have? What kind would you need to have that kind of mindset that looks impossibilities in the face and runs after it? Amen. The things that scare you, the things that discourage you, the things that would leave you hopeless, just look it in the face and run, jump in a pit and kill the thing. Glory to God. See, we all have lions. He says that you have an adversary, the devil. Walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I believe we live in a generation where God is raising up some lion killers. Amen? They're not going to settle. Not going to settle where they are. They're going all the way. All the way with God. How do we beat the lions? How do we fight the lions in our life? I think our culture, our society today are full of lions that people battle. Fear is a big one. Doubts, unbelief, sin, addictions, sicknesses, disease, rejection, insecurities, people that don't know who they are in God, looking for affirmation, trying to figure out who they are, trying to figure out a purpose in life. Man, if that's you this morning, you slay that lion. Amen. God's got an awesome plan for your life. Humble yourself before God. Get a hold of God and watch Him raise you up. Cast all your cares, all your burdens on Him, and He'll raise you up. Loneliness. It's a big lion for people. I hate being lonely. There, now you know. I just don't like being lonely. That's why I love the presence of God. That's why I love my wife so much. She'll hang out with me whenever I need to. Hang out to me whether I need it or not. She still hangs out with me. Amen? And I just, loneliness is a feeling. It's like a wet blanket that comes over me if I'm alone sometimes. And then I'll go to prayer, go to worship, and it all lifts. Sometimes you got to jump in the pit with a lion and do him in. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your family. Lions can take many shapes, many forms, many situations in our life. It can be impossibilities that you face. It really doesn't matter what it is. God has called us to be lion killers and to live for Him wholeheartedly. How do we do it? How do we defeat these lions? Well, we've seen a couple keys. We humble ourselves before God. Amen. We cast our cares on Him. We give them to Him. That means we don't take them back. Amen. When you cast your care on Him, it literally is like using a casting rod. The thing is, when you cast out, when you're fishing, you wait until the fish bites it. Amen. Then you reel it in. And unless you got one of those spinner baits or fishing a different type of fish. But literally, God's saying, I want you to cast all your cares upon me. Your fears, your doubts, your unbelief, any addiction, sickness, disease, whatever it is, give it to me, He said. Humble yourself before me and give it to me. And I'll show you why the key of victory. We're going to have communion in just a moment. In Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, and I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. He said, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open or read the scroll or to look at it. Nobody worthy in heaven, in earth. And so he began to weep. He wanted to know what was in the scroll. He wanted to know what was coming. But one of the elders said to me in verse 5, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loosen the 7 seals. You know, the only thing that will back a lion off after he roars, the only thing that will turn him around is a louder roar from another lion, a more dominant lion. And we have a lion who's our adversary, the Bible says, who's roaming around seeking whom he may devour. But the lion of the tribe of Judah has a louder roar. In verse 6, I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, listen to this, stood a what? Lamb. As though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. This is an interesting vision that he has. He said there's nobody worthy in heaven, nobody worthy in earth, nobody to open the seven seals. There's nobody on heaven, in heaven, nobody in the earth that's worthy. And then the elder came to him and he said, well, wait a minute, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Amen. You get this sense of a mighty warrior has prevailed. And he took it and he was able to open the seals. He said, but when he looked at the lion that had prevailed, he looked, he saw a lamb. Suffering servant. As it had been slain. You see, we can defeat our lions because he's defeated every adversary that you'll ever face. Because when he went to the cross, when he was the suffering servant, when he was the lamb, when he hung there suspended between heaven and earth, he defeated every foe, every enemy, every single thing that you could ever face in your life. That's why he says, humble yourself before him. Engage him, he says, by faith. Amen. He said, by faith he engaged. This man, Benaniah, I tell you, he had some faith when he went into that pit on a snowy day. David had some faith when he looked Goliath in the eye. He had some faith when he slayed his lion and he slayed his bear. Amen? He had some faith. Amen. And Jesus, it says, he saw the lion of the tribe of Judah, that lion, that warrior mentality had prevailed, but he prevailed as a lamb. Suffering sacrifice. Defeating your fears, defeating your doubts, defeating your sin, defeating our addictions, defeating our sickness, our disease, defeating our rejections, defeating our insecurities, defeating our loneliness, our providing for our needs, our jobs, our finances, our families, whatever it is, God has prevailed. The lion has roared. Amen. And just as he was worthy to open the seals, he's worthy of everything we are. He desires to be preeminent. Amen? And when we take communion in just a few minutes, I want us to see how Jesus prevailed, what he did. As the lamb that was slain, the one who poured out his blood, the one who took our sin, our unrighteousness, our sicknesses, our disease, the one who fulfilled the righteous demands of the law that were written against us. The one who imparted and imputed his righteousness to us when we had nothing to offer back to him, he still died. That's the amazing thing to me about the sacrifice of Jesus. It was because of pure love. Pure, unadulterated love. It wasn't because we were good enough. It wasn't because we always got it right. It was because he loved you, and he loved me, and he prevailed. Death couldn't hold him. He was resurrected, giving us the hope and the reality of his resurrection life and power. This is what we're going to be celebrating this morning. You see, we can defeat our lions because he already has. And we can go in his victory. Whatever it is that you're facing this morning, as you take communion, I want you to declare victory over all your fears, over your doubts, over whatever it is, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed in your behalf. Who will believe his report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. Referring to Jesus. You dare to believe him this morning? We sang about miracles this morning. Powerful song. He's the God of miracles. And he'll do one for you. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. The worship ministry, if they would come at this time, and the elders that are here to prepare to get ready to serve communion. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. God, I pray that it would hold a prominent place in our hearts and in our minds. God, I pray that the words that have been spoken this morning would be a conduit of faith. God, that we might engage you afresh, Lord God, that we might realize that every obstacle, God, that we would lay aside and God, place at the foot of the cross every excuse that we could possibly have, God, for not honoring you with our lives. Lord, we're going to take communion in just a moment. God, and as a reminder, God, of your great sacrifice, of the great victory that you've won in our behalf. And God, I pray that this congregation here this morning, those that are listening online, God, that they would become lion killers. That every fear, every doubt, every bit of unbelief, God, any sin, any addiction, God, anything that we wrestle with, God, would be defeated. Because of you. God, open our eyes to the reality of your sacrifice, to the power of your sacrifice, to the completeness of your sacrifice. Lord, you said it is finished. There's no more for you to do. So God, help us to enter in to the fullness of it. And do the works, not only the works you do, but God, you said greater works we would do because you went to the Father because of the cross. God, we're believing you for the whole thing, Lord. We want to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to come on down and get the communion elements, and then go back to your seat and we'll partake together.